Here ends the satsang session of 20th June 1985. We begin now the satsang session of 23rd June 1985, continuing Savitri, Book 3, Canto 4.
We continue the description of man, surrounded as he is by a giant ignorance, assigned to meet the cosmic mystery in the dumb figure of a material world, his passport of entry falls and his personage, he is compelled to be what he is not. Man has been appointed to solve the mystery of the cosmos. And where does he solve it? In the dumb figure of a material world. The world in which he lives is a material world which is not articulate. That is, it is not fully expressive. And to that world, his passport of entry is false. He doesn't have a rightful, legitimate right of entry. He is not qualified. And his personage, his appearance, with all this handicap, he is compelled to be what he is not, what he is really not. He is compelled to be by circumstances, by the conditions of ignorance in the world. He obeys the inconscience he has come to rule. God has intended man to subjugate and rule over inconscience. But as it has happened, he is subject to inconscience. He has to obey the law of inconscience and sinks in matter to fulfill his soul. He, intention of his life is to fulfill his soul, and for that he needs to get full experience of matter, explore matter, and in that he sinks in matter. He comes to believe that matter is everything. Awakened from our lower driven forms, the Earth Mother gave her forces to his hands, and painfully he guards the heavy trust. The Earth Mother, evolving Earth Mother, when she becomes self-aware at the level of man, till man arrives, all the forms are driven by nature. They are not self-conscious. But when man arrives, Earth Mother gives her forces to his hands, and painfully he guards the heavy trust. He does not know how to use them, but he guards them. His mind is a lost torch bearer on our roads. He has to travel on our roads, but his mind is not a reliable torch bearer throwing light on the roads. Illumining breath to think and plasm to feel, he labors with his slow and skeptic brain. Man, he teaches his breath, that is his life force, to think, and matter, plasm, matter, to feel. That is, he adds the sensation of feeling and the activity of thinking to matter and life. He labors with his slow and skeptic brain. The brain doesn't believe in things, always doubtful. So he has to go slow, helped by the reason's vacillating fires. Reason is his guide, reason is his light. But the fires lit by reason are vacillating. They at times support this side, at times support the other side. That is why said vacillating. He labors to make his thought and will a magic door for knowledge to enter into the darkness of the world. Man labors, man strives, so that his thought and his will function as a magic door through which in this darkness of this world knowledge can enter and love to rule a realm of strife and hate. The world of man as it is a realm, domain of strife and hate. In that he hopes love to enter through his thought and will. A mind impotent to reconcile heaven and earth, his is a mind that is not able to bridge the gulf between earth and heaven, and tied to matter with a thousand bonds, mind cannot function as mind proper. Its roots are sunk in matter and in conscience of matter. So the material foundations of mind act as a drag on the proper function of mind. That is why he says, tied to matter with a thousand bonds, he lifts himself to be a conscious God. With all these handicaps, with all these limitations, man does succeed in elevating himself to be a conscious God. Even when a glory of wisdom crowns his brow, it means even when he becomes wise, when mind and spirit shed a grandiose ray, when the higher light shines through his mind and through his spirit, to exalt this product of the sperm and gen, that is the human being, this alchemist miracle from plasm and gas. Alchemist is a magician. How out of this plasm and gas a thinking being has come? That is a miracle effected by this alchemist. And he who shared the animals run and crawl, at some time in evolution, man also crawled and he ran along with the animal creation. Now he lifts his thought's stature to the immortal's heights. At least his thoughts reach up to the heights of the gods. He thinks of them, he discovers ways to reach them, but with all that, his life still keeps the human middle way. His life is not God's life. It is still midway between the animal way and God's. His body he resigns to death and pain. abandoning matter his too heavy charge. At some point in time, he gives up his body to death and to pain, and in the course abandons matter, which has always been a drag, a downward charge on him. A thaumaturge, skeptic of miracles, that means he is a magician. Now a magician knows that all the miracles that are done are not miracles at all, because he knows how he does it. So he says, a thaumaturge, skeptic of miracles, it is man, a spirit left sterile of its occult power. He is a spirit, but his occult power is not functioning anymore because of his reasoning mind. By an unbelieving brain and credulous heart, his brain never believes in things, but his heart believes in everything. He leaves the world to end where it began. By himself, he cannot improve the world. He lives. When he departs, he has left the world where it was. His work unfinished, he claims a heavenly prize. Though he has failed in his mission, and his work is not yet finished, he hopes to get a heavenly prize after death. Thus has he missed creation's absolute. The absolute, the ultimate destiny of creation, he has missed. Halfway he stops his star of destiny. He doesn't go far enough. He is satisfied with halfway measures and stops midway. A vast and vain, long tried experiment, an ill-served high conception doubtfully done, the world's life falters on, not seeing its goal. World's life is the subject. And these are adjectives. A vast and vain, long tried experiment, that is this life of the world. An ill-served high conception doubtfully done. It started with a high conception, but it has not been served well. It has not been done well. The execution has been of a doubtful character. And the world stumbles on without even seeing its goal, a zigzag, meandering course towards unknown, dangerous ground, ever repeating its habitual walk. The world life goes on in its familiar rounds. The roots to which it is habituated, through those roots it goes, ever retreating after marches long. It seems to march very far, and then again it comes back. And hardiest victories without sure result. She registers, the world's life does register victories, one after great struggle, but ultimately they don't prove to be very consequential. Drawn endlessly, an inconclusive game. The game has concluded without any victory, any win on any side. In an ill-fitting and voluminous robe, it is the noun is still the world's life. the world's life in an ill-fitting and voluminous robe, a radiant purpose still conceals its face. The world's life has a purpose indeed. But what's that purpose? We can't make out, because that purpose has put on, is hidden in a voluminous robe, an ill-fitting, huge robe, and that conceals the face of the purpose behind life. A mighty blindness stumbles, hoping on. In this life of the world, a powerful blindness. It is not a weak blindness which stays where it is, but because it is powerful and mighty, it goes on hoping something will happen, feeding its strength on gifts of luminous chance. It gets nourishment by gifts of chance. At any rate, what appears to be chance, because the human instrument has failed in its purpose, the Godhead frustrate sleeps within its seed. The Godhead within man sleeps frustrated, a spirit entangled in the forms it made. The Divine Spirit has created these forms, but because man has not done his work, it lies entangled, frustrated, helpless in the forms. But he says, the poet says, his failure is not failure whom God leaves. That is, a person who is dedicated to God and who is led by God, even though he may appear to fail, does not really fail. Failure is only an appearance. That failure is in a way contributing to his success, because God has been leading him. He is not led by his own defective, limited intelligence. So he says, his failure is not failure whom God leads. Through all the slow, mysterious march goes on. Through all this, God's march goes on. An immutable power has made this mutable world. This world may be changing, this world may be mutable, moving from place to place. But the power that has made it is something stable, something stationary. An immutable, immovable power. A self-fulfilling transcendence treads man's road. A reality from above, which fulfills its purpose anyway, that is walking on the road that man has made, or man is treading. That is why the march goes on. Whatever the failures of man, God leads the world towards his destination. The driver of the soul upon its path, it is the transcendent power. It drives the soul upon its path. It knows its steps. Its way is inevitable. We may or may not understand, but the way, the road on which the soul is driven by the transcendent power is inevitable, the right one. And how shall the end be vain when God is guide? When God is guiding the human journey, how can the goal, the end, be vain? It has a purpose, it is fruitful. However man's mind may tire or fail his flesh, though man's mind may get tired, or his material body may fail, maybe sickness, maybe neglect, whatever, a will prevails, cancelling his conscious choice. Whatever his choice may be, a higher will prevails ultimately, overruling the human conscious choice. The goal recedes. No doubt, as you journey, the goal goes on receding. A boundless vastness calls, a boundless vastness calls, retreating into an immense unknown. There is no end really to the journey of life. It goes on retreating into what to us is an unknown territory. There is no end to the world's stupendous march. There is no rest for the embodied soul. Once a soul takes birth, takes a body, it cannot rest till it achieves its purpose. Man may deceive himself saying that he is going to relax, he is going to take rest. But the soul within will not allow him to rest. And that is why mother would say that she never understood how people could say they are going to take rest. There is no rest for the embodied soul. It must live on, describe all time's huge curve. That means it has got to live, it has got to work and complete the huge curve of time. An influx presses from the closed beyond. There is a constant descent, a descent of consciousness, a descent of force from the beyond, which you cannot see. That is why it is called closed beyond, forbidding him to rest and earthly ease. That power, that force sees to it that he cannot rest and he cannot relax in earthly ease. Not the heavenly ease, but earthly ease is a gross quality of ease. Till he has found himself, he cannot pause. Man cannot stop, man cannot halt till he has discovered who he is. Self-discovery, know thyself. Till he fulfills that order, he cannot really rest. And then he says, a light there is that leads. It is not a useless game. He is not alone. Man is not alone. He says, a light there is that leads. A power that aids. In front there is a light that shows the way. And by the side there is a power that helps. Unmarked, unfelt, it sees in him and acts. That power may not be seen, but it sees and it acts. Whether he is aware of it or not, he recognizes it or not. Ignorant, he forms the all-conscient in his depths. He may be ignorant, but the God forms himself in his depths. Man may not be aware, man may not be conscious, man may be ignorant, But God grows within. Human looks up to superhuman peaks. That is why, though he is human, man looks up to superhuman peaks. A borrower of supernature's gold, he paves his road to immortality. Man lays the road, paves the road to immortality with the gold which he borrows from supernature, that is, with the strength, with the consciousness, with the power that flow from supernature, his path to immortality is built. The high gods look on man and watch and choose. Not only has he a companion aid, not only is there light to lead, but above also, the high gods look on man and watch. They don't just stand as witnesses. They oversee, they preside over his effort and choose today's impossibles for the future's base. Today we think many things, this is impossible. But the gods choose those very impossibles to form the starting points for future achievements. So man is compelled to proceed on what looks impossible at the moment, because they are going to be the base of the future. I think we can stop it.